Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Better watch out for those deep fakes. Governor Gavin Newsom, Newscum, doesn't like them, and they'll lock you up and put you away for making what they deem as a deep fake. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Scioli. What a day. And I'll tell you something. Newsom is the worst. I mean, he's the worst. The worst of the worst. And it's, yep, now the state can lock you up. I like how one person put it, Charlie Kirk put it, you know, if California, it's legal if you steal $1,000 worth of merchandise, but a crime if you make a meme. That's what happens in the state of California. Here's a little bit of Gavin Newsom, and I'll tell you about the bill that he ultimately wound up signing here.
There's been a lot of deepfakes out there. There's not a lot of disclosure. There's not a lot of labeling. So among the many AI bills that are on the desk are three specific election-related bills.
Do you want to sign some laws?
Waste your time with a politician unless they're going to do something for you.
There's two are signed, and three are signed.
And this is now official. That is now injunctive relief if you do any of those deep fake election misrepresentations. So that's how easy it is to govern in California.
Wow, we're so happy when politicians do things for us, like trample on the First Amendment. People have been making parodies about politicians since literally the founding of the Republic, and before that as well. Part of the reason why we have a First Amendment is because we used to mock the British, and they didn't like that very much. Tyrants never do. Tyrants don't like when you make fun of them, you see. They like when you're nice and you stay in your lane. People like Gavin Newsom are tyrants. So he has now signed his election deepfake ban in a rebuke to Elon Musk. It is the toughest law banning digitally altered political deepfakes. Following through on a vow to act after rebuking Elon Musk for sharing a doctored video of Vice President Kamala Harris. That video, by the way, I'm going to play it for you because, I mean, it's newsworthy. I don't know if I'm breaking any law regarding California. I don't really care. I don't know if it's true or not. I just know that I don't care. I don't really care what Gavin Newsom has signed. I think it's unconstitutional. I think it's very, very obvious that it's unconstitutional. And I think that everyone should realize that this is going to get challenged in court. You have a right to parody your elected officials. And the standard has to be that it's so over the top that you know it can't be real. And obviously, if you listen to this particular deep fake, as they call it, this deep fake. Well, if you look at this particular deepfake, and only an idiot would have to think it was real. Only an idiot would have to think that it was real. And that's the standard. That's the test. That's the test. It is, can a reasonable person look at this and determine that, yeah, this is in fact something that is too over the top to be taken seriously? And that's what parody is all about. That's what satire is all about. Satire and parody are very, very important. They are important for us to be able to push out there the ability to mock our elected officials, to mock them and belittle them. It is a fundamental principle of America because we don't want these people to be tyrants. We don't want these people to turn around and be treated like royalty because they're not. The whole point of our government, the whole point of our constitutional republic, as the lead singer from the band Creed put it, and he's right on that point, is that we don't have kings and queens. They're not exalted rulers. They're just flawed people like us. And any one of us flawed people could become, theoretically, an elected official. And most elected officials are deeply flawed people. So here's the parody in question that really triggered Gavin Newsom into signing this bill.
Hi, Kamala Harris, and your Democrat candidate for president, because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility in the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
Another trick is trying to sound black. I pretend to celebrate Kwanzaa, and in my speeches, I always do my best Barack Obama impression.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's tight.
And okay, look, maybe my work addressing the root causes of the border crisis were catastrophic, but my knowledge of international politics is truly shocking.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. It is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
And just remember, when voting this November, it is important to see what can be unburdened by what has been. And by what has been, I mean Joe Biden. You think the country went to over the past 4 years? You ain't seen nothing yet.
Gillette. Isn't that something? So that is what triggered him. That's what triggered him into turning around and signing this bill to ban so-called deepfakes. So you can't create mocking videos mocking your politicians anymore, mocking your exalted leaders anymore. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, it's not America if we can't mock our elected officials or celebrities or famous people. I mean, that's the other part of this, too. This all stems from that case involving Jerry Falwell when Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine, did an over-the-top cartoon about him having relations with his mother. And the Supreme Court ruled unanimously, by the way, that, yes, satire and parody of public figures is protected speech. So now we've just adopted that from cartoons in published magazines, not that I ever read those kind of magazines, to the new online world where you can take them and make them live action parodies and satires. What's the difference? It's just gone from being a one-dimensional or two-dimensional satire or parody. Cartoons, political cartoons have been, when I tell you that since the founding of the Republic, they used to write all kinds of different political cartoons mocking the elected officials, mocking the president, mocking Thomas Jefferson, mocking the founders, all the time. Just all the time. It's a rich tradition in American history. So now we've gone with modern technology and we've transformed that into now these reels, these video vignettes. You can't do that anymore. You can't mock these people. Not in California, you can't. He doesn't like it. Now, look, I understand there's a difference between that and some 17-year-old girl who's minding her own business and is not in the public eye and is not running for office. I understand that. I get that point. And it's an interesting point where the First Amendment stops and protecting the private rights of somebody who is not in the public eye begins. And it's pretty clear on that point. If you're not a public figure, then it's very difficult for somebody to go out there and say things that are knowingly untrue about you, disparage you, you get all kinds of legal protections. But that doesn't count if you're running for president of the United States or if you're Taylor Swift. It doesn't. You're in the public eye. It doesn't care. You do it to me. I mean, knock yourself out. It's, you know, it's freedom of speech. I don't have to like it. But that's the problem with this deep fake nonsense that Gavin Newsom has signed in California here. And he's so smug about it, too, isn't he? The way he turns around and he goes, oh, this is government. What's the point of having politicians if they don't do something for you? Do something for you. You see what I mean? Do something for you. I don't want them doing something for me. I don't. I want them to turn around and do very little, including banning TikTok. I want them to stop doing this crap, too. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia heard TikTok's defense on Monday as the social media company sought to persuade the three-judge panel that Congress's attempts to ban the platform are a violation of the First Amendment. And I agree. And this is all about, this entire thing with banning TikTok, just so you know, is entirely about getting them under the control of Congress by making them an American company so that Congress can turn around and regulate them and regulate speech. Where we're headed in this country right now, we are headed for a place where they get to regulate speech that they deem to be information, misinformation. What did Hillary Clinton say? You remember? What did Hillary Clinton say when I played the clip for you yesterday? She talked about that fact. What has Tim Walz said? You don't have a First Amendment right. You don't have a First Amendment right to say misinformation and disinformation. Who decides what this stuff is? The answer is they do. And if you get in their way, if you get in their way and you post things.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That they don't like, then they'll just call that misinformation or disinformation and take it down. Or maybe they'll fine you. Maybe they'll jail you. I mean, this is all about intimidation. It's all about intimidating somebody into not going down this road so that you don't mock and belittle our exalted leaders. I can't express to you how important it is in America to be able to mock politicians. It's so incredibly important to be able to mock politicians every step of the way. This is Hillary Clinton talking about how they want to weaponize this for misinformation.
Boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence because boosting Trump back in 2016.
See that? Criminally charged as a deterrence. Or civilly, sue him. Public officials getting sued because you put out a satirical video mocking them. Think about that. Now, look, I think there's a big difference between putting out a deepfake of Joe Biden saying I've just started a nuclear missile strike against Russia, because that could cause panic. And yeah, no, there's a big difference between that. That's why the test is it so over the top that a reasonable person can clearly see that it is parody and satire? If they did a satirical video of Joe Biden just announcing that he pooped his pants, that would be that could be real. That's hard to know if that's satire. That could just be a daily update from the president. Fair enough. Here's Kamala Harris talking about this too.
He has lost his privileges and it should be taken down. And the bottom line is that you can't say that you have one rule for Facebook and you have a different rule for Twitter. The same rule has to apply, which is that there has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation.
And that's what they want, is oversight and regulation. Here's a New York Democrat calling for Trump supporters to be put in re-education camps.
Even if we were to have a resounding blue wave come through, as many of us would like, putting it all back together again after we've gone through this MAGA nightmare and re-educating, basically, which that sounds like a rather a re-education camp. I don't think we really want to call it that. I'm sure we can find another way to...
No, call it something better, right? How about re-education daycare? How about re-education daycare? That could be nice, right? Do that. And Hillary Clinton basically saying that MAGA, we got to do some formal deprogramming here. You know what I mean?
Sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
And how do you do that? Because you said you have to defeat them by defeating their leader. Their leader is Donald Trump. Even you have said that you expect him to be the Republican nominee. How does this change at all?
At this point, I think, sadly, he will still likely be the nominee, and we have to defeat him.
So, but then when they do, then they can stick us all into the re-education camps. Got it? Then they can deprogram all of us. And let's not forget Tim Walz also saying the exact same stuff, by the way, how the First Amendment doesn't protect you from saying misinformation or disinformation. These are terrifying people. They really are. These are tyrants. These are tyrants of the highest degree. Make no mistake about it. You should be very afraid of them.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy. I think we need to push back on this.
See that? There's no guarantee against misinformation or disinformation. And then Kamala Harris even threatening that if you don't police your platforms, we're going to hold you accountable. This is their plan to get TikTok under their control so that they can regulate TikTok too. And ultimately, they want to have control over all of these different things. This is what they want. They want to control all the social media sites to make sure that they're all putting out the kind of information and or policing misinformation, and they deem it. They decide it. So you put out something about transgender. You put out something about climate change. They don't like it. They take it down. They want to be able to have that control.
We will double the Civil Rights Division and direct law enforcement to counter this extremism. We will hold social media platforms accountable for the hate infiltrating their platforms because they have a responsibility to help fight against this threat to our democracy. And if you profit off of hate, if you act as a megaphone for misinformation or cyber warfare, if you don't police your platforms, we are going to hold you accountable as a community.
Like, I can't be the only one who...
Isn't that something? We're going to hold you accountable. We're going to hold you accountable. The laws in California, what Gavin Newsom just signed, the laws allow courts to... let me see if I can find this here. I just lost it here. To force AI media disclosures... stop distribution of deepfake election materials and impose civil penalties. Civil penalties. So if you make jokes, like that one guy who actually wound up getting locked up for this, for saying text Hillary to whatever and you can vote in the election. Because stupid people believed him that you could vote by text. Or the guy who said vote tomorrow, Wednesday, election day. And then stupid people believed that and they locked that guy up too. This is the problem that we're in right now. This is the problem that we're facing in this country. Tyrants who want to control speech. And that is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Vanaria, we're coming right back.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. And on the free Odyssey app.
And of course, tyrants love to use lawfare to help their own political objectives. They love it. They love to push narratives. They love to seize power. And they love to use the law to advance their own political ambition. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. There is a movie called Arrested by Kamala. A Black Mother's Story. So a filmmaker by the name of Joel Gilbert interviewed Sherry Peoples. So Sherry's a mom who was prosecuted by Kamala Harris over her daughter's school truancy. Now, on surface level, you might go, well, doesn't that sound good? I mean, if kids should be in school, kids should be in school. And you step back for a minute, you go, okay, but what about the circumstances surrounding why kids aren't in school? And should locking up the parents be the way to go here? And you start asking lots of different questions. But if you want to sound like you're a tough-on-crime prosecutor, like Kamala Harris did, if you want to sound like you're somebody who's a bad, bad, bad hombre, who's going to go out there and really hold these parents accountable, then you don't care about reasons and excuses, and you don't care. What you have to do is you just got to go out there and you need to push so that your ambition will soar and skyrocket. And that's what happened here to this woman. As Attorney General in California, Harris led a crackdown on school attendance, making it a criminal misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in jail for parents whose children missed at least 10% of school days. In Arrested by Kamala, a black mother's story, Peoples, Sherry Peoples, tells the story of how she spent 2 years on trial for having a daughter in the hospital with sickle cell anemia. Can you believe that? Sickle cell anemia, excuse me. It's almost like you go, this can't be real. How can this possibly be real? Here's a little bit of the video. Here's a little bit of the movie, Arrested by Kamala. I should take a listen. There's also a rap song they made about it, too. Arrested by Kamala, a black mother's story.
I intend to fight for Black Lives Matters. I intend to fight.
If Black Lives Matter to her, why didn't I matter?
Because of truancy, California public schools lose $1.4 billion a year in funding.
I want money.
I don't agree what Kamala Harris did to my mom.
So I decided I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy.
I spend a majority of my time here at the hospital.
When Kamala Harris was the California Attorney General, she had me arrested and prosecuted because my handicapped daughter was sick in the hospital and had missed some days of school.
I have sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell anemia is a hereditary disease and it is very, very painful.
In 2012, like all California parents, I received a threatening letter from Kamala Harris saying, we'll go to jail for a year if our kids even miss 10% of school days. Little did I know, there was a warrant out for my arrest. All of a sudden, the police is outside my house and they started banging on the door. They told me I was under arrest for my child missing school. I was shocked. I said, but my baby is sick. The school knows that. And they said, go talk to Kamala Harris. Place your hands behind your back.
My mom did nothing wrong. We did everything we were supposed to. I was always bringing doctor's notes, always calling the school to let them know that I was in the hospital.
But my hell was just beginning. They gave me two charges.
Let's understand. Very oftentimes, people who are prosecutors will go after innocent people simply to push their own ambition. This is something Tulsi Gabbard criticized Kamala Harris about in 2019, incarcerating black men over marijuana crimes. Not like selling massive amounts of marijuana. This isn't like, you know, El Chapo here, but just possession and putting them away. See, Kamala Harris blows with the wind. Before she was for defunding the police, she was sending cops to people's homes like this mom and arresting them for their daughter not being in school and then not caring about what the reasons were, the circumstances, because this is about her ambition. And how many prosecutors do this to try to run for higher office one day? Governor, senator, president, whatever. A lot of them do. But to show you how Kamala Harris has no freaking backbone, she'll be a tyrant when she needs to be. She'll be anti-cop when she needs to be. She'll be a lawless rogue prosecutor who lets criminals off the streets when she needs to be. She'll crack down on single black moms when she needs to be. She'll be what she has to be. Whatever she has to be, that's who she is. So back to this, Arrested by Kamala, a black mother's story, the story of Sherry Peoples, a mother prosecuted by Kamala Harris over her daughter's school truancy.
Spent the next 2 years in court fighting these charges. Kamala assigned her nastiest prosecutors to my case.
My homicide prosecutors, my gang prosecutors. And they went over there and I said, when you go over there, look really mean.
All the time I had to spend going to court, I was struggling to care for my shit.
We are going to make sure that you face the full force and consequences of the law.
I lost my job and couldn't pay rent, and we got evicted. I became homeless. We had to move into a motel.
And I ended up being in the hospital a lot during her trial. And in that hospital stay was when I had my stroke.
I had a stroke about 4 or 5 days ago.
Little girl had a stroke. All the stress her mom's going through. Now, wouldn't a reasonable person drop these charges? Wouldn't a reasonable prosecutor drop these charges and turn around and say this is never what the intent of the law was here? This was never the intent of the law to go after this woman, to punish her. But this is the problem. When you empower these tyrants and give them more authority, they wield it like a cudgel and they don't care about the consequences. They don't care about the people who get swept up along the way. They don't care. This is about their own personal ambition. This is about being able to turn around and go, you see how tough I was? You see how tough I was on these deadbeat parents who were truant, let their kids be truant? I mean, what kind of a person puts a mom through this? What kind of a person puts the kid through this? A person who doesn't care about people. A person who has no empathy. A total narcissist who has no empathy for other people and only cares about their own personal ambition.
And right now I'm doing pretty good. My hand is doing okay, I guess.
Let's be clear. My values have not changed. Look, I am not a political person, but I want people to know what Kamala Harris has did to me. If she do it to me, she will abuse anyone if you give her the power.
The truancy program, I got a lot of criticism too. Did you actually lock anybody up?
No, we never locked anybody up. We did prosecute some cases, but far few, only about 20. My message to all Americans, especially Black Americans, do not trust Kamala Harris.
That's something. You can go to arrestedbykamala.com to watch the full video. And they made a rap song about it, too. They made a rap song to accompany this.
I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy. She had me arrested and prosecuted because my handicapped daughter was sick in the hospital.
Kamala, come on, it's Kamala. I have a story to tell. Why you lost your way up and threw her in a cell? Her daughter has anemia, some call it sickle cell. She missed too many school days, so you locked her mom in jail. Kamala, 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 I got a story to tell. Why you locked your way up? Her daughter wasn't feeling too well. She has sickle cell anemia. It attacks her red blood cells. When she was down sick in the hospital, you put her mom in jail. Single Black mom in LA, struggling just trying to make it.
And we're gonna do it again in 2024.
Now you pander her for the Black vote, so now you claim half Jamaican. You race flip for occasions. You say you were East Asian. You never cared about no America. You allowed this invasion. Kamala, come on, it's Kamala. I have a story to tell. Why you lost your way up and threw her in a cell? Her daughter has anemia, some call it sickle cell. She missed too many school days, so you locked her up in jail.
I want money.
You know what's funny? Kamala be loving the money. She was willing to lock up the parents they say for truancy, $30 per day.
I'm gonna start prosecuting parents for truancy.
Don't take my word, just ask Sheree. That's how schools in California get paid. Brought to you by the California DA, Miss K-A-M-A-L-A.
They kept pressuring me to plead guilty and spend a year in jail.
Kamala, come on, it's Kamala. I have a story to tell. Why you lost your way up and threw her in a cell? Her daughter has anemia, some call it sickle cell. She missed too many school days, so you locked her mom in jail. Sheree had to fight till she was broke. Her little daughter Shayla had a stroke.
My hand is doing okay, I guess.
Kamala Harris ain't nothing but a joke. She locked the blacks up for marijuana smoke. But let me get back to the details. Sheree spent 2 years fighting jail. She lost her job and got evicted. It's a true story, it ain't scripted. And the word that's around town, that laughing hyena got passed around. Come on, who's Mr. Woody Brown? You can go ask Judge Joe Brown. But back to my story.
I don't agree what my Kamala Harris did to my mom.
Shelly was traumatized. I seen the pain and hurt in her eyes. Kamala should apologize. Kamala, come on, it's Kamala. I have a story to tell.
Why you lost your way up? If you were in a cell, her daughter has anemia. Some call it sickle cell. She missed too many school days, so you locked your mom in jail.
My homicide prosecutors said when you go over there, look really mean.
Kamala, coming is Kamala. I have a story to tell. Why you lost your way up?
You know, I'm not usually a big rap guy. This song's good. This guy's good. He's good. I like it. He's really good. By the way, you know, they have that big rally for Trump that's going to happen in just a few minutes right now in Uniondale, New York. About 7 o'clock or so it's going to start out on Long Island, Strong Island. We'll find out if Jimmy Fallon is going to interview Trump or not. I think he's planning to today, if I'm not mistaken. And good for him. But yeah, no, that's Trump's going to all the places, you know? He's going to all the places and he's getting out there, and that's for sure. And look, I'll tell you something. You know, the working class vote, black vote, it all matters. All matters. This woman's story needs to get out there, no doubt about it. Coming up, Pennsylvania, how we doing on registrations? Let's talk to our buddy Cliff Maloney about it. We got some good news, really good news. We got to keep our foot on the gas, no doubt about it. This is no time to let up. No time to let up. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Pennsylvania, here's the deal. We got to win. Everybody's watching us. Everybody knows we got to win. My man Cliff Maloney is fighting the good fight. He's the founder of the Pennsylvania Chase, and he's crushing commies. And he just did the other day in Philadelphia on debate day, literally crushing commies to their face. And he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. What's up, brother?
Rich, always great to be with you. You got to watch out, man. Independence Hall, I didn't expect to have to give somebody a people's elbow, but man, those commie protesters are a bunch of fun. We're seeing that on the ground. I mean, we've got 120 full-time ballot chasers that have been on the ground since September 1. Right now, they're getting requests, and once ballots go out on Monday, it's Super Bowl time. You know, we're going to be talking 500,000 doors is what we're knocking across PA to make sure that we can compete in the mail-in ballot portion. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And the registration issue in Pennsylvania, it's not making news. It's really not. And I'm glad you're here to talk about this because I think it's critical. I want everyone to understand exactly what's happening and the advantage that Republicans have, and also the advantage we have this time around versus the last election with getting mail-in ballots in too. And you've got some good data on that as well, right, Cliff?
Yeah, I mean, let's just start with the registration before we even talk about mail-in. So I would much rather be us than them in terms of momentum. So in 2020, we're down roughly, 700,000 when it comes just to registrations, more Democrats than Republicans, 700,000. And so what I tell people, look at where we are today. Their lead is just over 300,000. So we've cut the lead in half when it comes to registration. Now they still have a lead. But once again, Rich, the Democrat mailing ballot request, because everybody listening, remember, obviously in Pennsylvania, you know, not all ballots go out. You have to request it. And so Democrats four elections, since they've changed the rules during COVID, they have dominated us. This is the first cycle that Republicans are saying, hey, listen, we hate mailing ballots, but we have to play the game. We can't just go home. We can't just sit it out and forfeit the election. And so now you've got early vote action with Scott Pressler. You've got Turning Point Action, Charlie Kirk, Tyler Boyer. You've got our organization, Citizens Alliance, with the PA Chase program. You've got the GOP nationally. You've got the PA GOP. Everybody is finally coming together. We're finally working with synergy, and we're saying we're going after these mail-in ballots. So all the numbers are showing momentum for us, you know, despite what people want to say about polling or this. We're going to compete on the playing field that the Democrats have, and that has them scared to death. I mean, I got some buddies that, you know, share some things with us on the other side, and they realize they have to have the 2020 mail-in ballot numbers. And right now, they are falling way short of that, which is good news for Republicans.
It's great news. It's great news for Republicans, Cliff Maloney. It really is. And I'm also happy, too, about the fact, and Cliff Maloney's with me right now, PA Chase, the Pennsylvania Chase. It's incredibly important right now. Let's talk about the door knocking. Let's talk about getting people out there, because a big part of what you've been doing, and you know, you're a young guy and you got a ton of energy and it's awesome. getting people out and getting those ballots in. So I looked at one of your posts. We're 80,000 votes away from winning PA in 2020. We were 80,000. 141,000 Republicans requested mail-in ballots and never sent them back. So we're chasing the ballots to get them in. The other fact, too, about getting those ballots in, and this is a key point. I said this the other night at an event with the Republican National Chairman, Michael Whatley, is that if you get the ballot in, we know you voted. So then we don't have to spend time going after you. This is another key point I really want to drive home to people.
Yeah, and I mean, let's talk about it in terms of dollars and cents, right? In 2020, you figure Biden had 2 million mail-in ballots that came in before the election. So if you're sending mail to voters, if you're targeting them on digital ads, if you're sending texts, if you're knocking on their doors, that's 2 million people you don't have to spend money targeting. Talk about an advantage, right? Where we as Republicans, we're targeting the entire universe all the way through Election Day. And so I think that that is not just, it's not just a, you know, wasting time or resources, it's money, right? It's going and doing that. And here's the Democrat playbook that we're taking with this PA chase. I mentioned we have 120 full-time chasers. We got 10 Airbnbs, Rich, throughout PA right now, 10 of them, where we house these 120 ballot chasers. They're out there 6 days a week. We give them Sundays off. They knock 10 a.m. to 7 o'clock. They get an hour for lunch. We're not, you know, we're not running a sweatshop. But they're grinders, and they're ideologically aligned. These people are patriots, and I'm so grateful for the work that they do. But what happens is the Democrats go to the door. Let's say Monday, ballots are out, right? You go to the door, you say, Bob, can I count on you to send your ballot in? And if he says yes, we see the data every single week, every single day we're looking at the data. So when Bob sends his ballot in, Rich, you're exactly right, we stop going to his door. Right. So every 10 days, we cycle back to those that said they would send their ballot in, but they haven't yet. And the Democrats call this the power of annoying the voter, which it sounds a little rough. It sounds a little unethical, but they're serious people and they win elections because you keep going back. And eventually Bob says, yeah, I know. I told you I'd vote. How do I get you to stop coming? Bob, it's simple. Send your ballot in. And I got to tell you, Rich, the conversations we're having at the door with these chasers right now and voters, it is the easiest door knocking we've ever done. You know, usually you're trying to persuade or you're trying to talk about the issues. We're simply going to Republicans who have a ballot sitting on their dining room table and saying, listen, can you send it in today? There's no persuasion. There's no talking about issues. And so it's really, really awesome to get the feedback we're getting. And when these ballots hit on Monday, it will be World War III. I mean, we are ready to go to battle.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I really do. It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy, your optimism. Because I got to tell you, man, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are bummed out, Cliff, and they keep saying the same thing to me. Like, Rich, is this election going to be fair? Can we win? Are they going to steal it? You know, and I keep saying all the time, look, if you go in there with that attitude, yeah, you know what? We are going to lose because people are going to stay home thinking that we don't have a chance here. It's not going to work. You got to motivate. You got to tell people we can win this, and you got to tell people it can be fair. And I think it is really critical what you're doing for that purpose, too. I can hear the optimism in your voice. I can hear the enthusiasm. It's so incredibly important that people know, yeah, damn right the Democrats are going to try fun and games. Absolutely. They always do. They do that in every election. I've been in politics a long time. But this isn't 2020. We're not going to be surprised this time. We're not going to sit back and be caught off guard with their shenanigans. And proactively, we have to do our part because last time around, we sat home and we said we weren't going to participate in mail-in ballots and we weren't going to do these things and we weren't going to vote in person early. And as a result of that, we lost a lot of advantages. So I'll ask you the question, Cliff Maloney, that everybody asks me. I get asked it almost daily, either on the show or when I'm at an event. Will this election be fair? Can we ensure a fair election in Pennsylvania?
No. I don't think you can ensure a fair election, depending on how you define fair. But here's why I'm still optimistic, Rich. Pennsylvania, when you look at Philadelphia and Allegheny counties, right, we all know those are the problem areas. But here's why I'm optimistic. You can't have more ballots come back that went out. Democrats, the fact that their ballot requests are so low, they're losing their ground on anything they could tamper with. Look, here's what I tell people that are struggling to stay positive. In 2020, they went all in to make sure every ballot that went out in Philly or Pittsburgh, whether it went to somebody that didn't live there anymore, heck, whether they were dead, right? I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be blunt. Those ballots came back, and they came back for Biden, and they still only won by 80,000 votes. So, of course, they're going to use every tactic they can. Of course, they're going to try to find every ballot that goes out. But when the Democrat ballot requests are down by 183,000 from where they were on this day in 2020, they're losing the edge. There's not ballots that there's not enough ballots for them to chase or to get back, even if they're not legitimate. Okay, any of these stories about ballots showing up? No, the problem is when those ballots go out because people are on the voter rolls or they were registered at one point and they move, those are the ones that, that's why I would never call it a fair election, but we can still win because even with them running up the score, we have the potential. We have the voters in PA. We have to do the work to turn them out. And that's why, look, I'm excited. These 120 patriots we have on the ground, by the way, if folks want to get involved, pachase.com. It's $175 to sponsor a full day, and 100% of that $175 goes to the ballot chaser pay, their housing, and their gas money. But that covers a whole day, and we've got them. I'm going to fully fund this thing, so anybody that can help us do it, you know, to keep them on the ground through election day would be great. But that's why, Rich, do I think it'll be fair? No, I think Democrats know how to bend the rules at every step of the way, but they don't have enough leverage to bend them to guarantee a win. Because they're losing support, Kamala is losing energy, and that is great news for Trump and winning PA. And by the way, we got to win PA to win the White House. 96.1% chance that if Trump wins PA, he wins the White House. It is by far the biggest state that has potential to tip the White House race. And that's why I'm glad to be back in my home state, get to see my family out in Delco, get to traverse Pennsylvania, because this is the battle. We got to win right here in PA.
My man, Cliff Maloney, PA Chase, baby. We got to help him out, all right? Do your part to help out. Follow Cliff on social media, at Maloney. One word, like Bocelli. Well, I mean, it's Andrea Bocelli, but you know, because you said Madonna earlier, but I want to use something Italian. So, at Maloney, all right? M-A-L-O-N-E-Y. Follow him today. Get involved. PA Chase. We need your help. PAChase.com. PAChase.com. Thanks, brother. I really appreciate all your hard work, everything you're doing. Next time you're back, I know you're in town. Come in the studio. Let's hang out. Let's do some videos together. Let's make this happen.
Rich, you're a patriot. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the folks. Want to fight for this country? Let's win this thing. Thanks so much.
You're the best, pal.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.